الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: إنما أنا قاسم والله يؤتي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected Ulama Ikram, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a perfect deen to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last Nabi of Allah, the last Rasul of Allah, coming with the last Kitab, Kitabullah, Quran Kareem. After Kitabullah, there is no other Kitab. After Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no other new Nabi. After Shariat of Islam, there is no new Shariat. And after the changing of the Qibla to Kaabatullah, there will be no new Qibla. Before we begin discussing about Makkatul Mukarrama and the Kaaba, I am very happy to smell the fragrance present here. And Alhamdulillah, the encouragement that we gave after Hajj has been implemented. And according to the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whosoever revives a sunnah in the times of trial and tribulation will be rewarded miyata shaheed, 1,000 shaheeds reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all those who have partaken in uplifting the sunnah of fragrance being put on Fridays in the masjids and jamaat salas. Respected elders, Makkatul Mukarrama, first of all, in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Makkah as Bakkah. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who says, actually Bakka refers to where the Kaaba is. The Kaaba is already on some soil. That soil is referred to as Bakka. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Bakka refers to the Mataf area. Mataf area, that area wherein or which the person making tawaf, when he goes round the Kaaba, that is called the Mataf area. So that area is called Bakka. And the rest of the place around the Kaaba, around the Mataf, is called Makkah. Ulama Ikram have written that Makkah is called Makkah because of various reasons. They say this word means pushing, pulling, or being pushed. So one who has made tawaf, especially during tawaf is ziyarah time, or especially when you go during Ramadan time or peak period, when you're making tawaf, inevitably someone pushes you a little bit. When we use this word pushing, we do not mean literal now pushing vigorously, light pushing. So while making tawaf, one is bound to be pushed a little bit or to push a little bit. Another reason why they say Makkah is called Makkah, because it has got the quality of absorption. It absorbs. What does it absorb? It absorbs two things. One is the sins of men. The sins of men, those who go to Makkah al-Mukarramah, generally with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who goes to Makkah, he becomes a regular namazi, he goes to the haram and he makes his salat, he goes to the haram and read Quran al-Kareem, he goes to the haram and make tawaf. He just looking at the Kaaba, you get sawab. So sawab definitely takes away guna. Just like when you are making wuzu, you are doing a good action, it removes the guna. So all actions done in the haram, just sitting in the haram and drinking zamzam, or just mere sitting in the masjid also, let alone the haram, sitting in any masjid also, you will get sawab when you just look at a person making salat. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated clearly in the hadith that a person, when he's looking at another person making salat, he gets equal reward. Deen of Islam encourages one to do small actions that get tremendous reward. Looking at a person, you get sawab when he's in salat. You just look at him, you get the sawab. Looking at the Kaaba, you get sawab. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi therefore stated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with eyesight, then look at four things. Kaabatullah. This is the building that when we look at, we will get sawab. Roza Rasulullah, where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried. Because obviously when you are going to look at where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried, you are going to think about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mere thinking of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get sawab. Kitabullah. When we look at the Quran Kareem, by looking at it, you get sawab. That is why ulama ikram have written that even a hafiz, when he is reading Quran Kareem, then it is better he uses the Quran. Why he left to make wuzu? He'll face Qibla, he'll follow some mannerism and ethics, and he'll look at the Quran. When he looks at the Quran, he'll get sawab. And awliya Allah, the pious and righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith has stated even further that when you look at Quran al-Kareem, you get sawab. When you look at Kaabatullah, you get sawab. When you look at the water of Zamzam, you get sawab. So, Makkah has got its name Makkah because it absorbs the sins of men. And also it absorbs people. Every year you hear the numbers are increasing. At one stage, 1 million, then 2, 3 million, up to 4 million has been recorded. Respected elders, in our own home, when 15 people walk in, then you realize that a lot of visitors have come. Makkah al-Mukarramah, 4 million, 3.5 million, the city is able to absorb them. You do not hear of people in Makkah al-Mukarramah go without food, water, drink, or fruit, anything. That's another day, that's another reason why Makkah al-Mukarramah is called Makkah. Makkah is also called Makkah, according to the ulama ikram, that all proud nations that have come there have been subdued by the might and glory and pomp and majestic nature of Makkah al-Mukarramah and the presence of the Kaaba there. So in history, when we trace all the great nations, and especially the proud and the arrogant, and the ones which had the quality of tyranny and oppression and suppression, when they came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, they were subdued. And the fourth reason, ulama ikram right, Makkah is called Makkah because those nations which were proud and arrogant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed them from there. When you do the history of Makkah in detail, then you'll realize that those nations that came there and settled there and began to become proud and arrogant and oppress the people, Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed them from Makkah al-Mukarramah and sent them to other places. Respected elders, fazilat, virtue of Makkah is because of Ka'batullah. And Makkah, according to geography, is the most central point on the surface of earth. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came there and was born in Makkah al-Mukarramah because the spiritual rays and celestial rays and the message of Islam must go throughout the entire world, and no person in the world must say that I was nearer to the place or further to the place of the spiritual message of salvation. Respected elders, 2000 years before the creation of earth, the foundation of Ka'batullah was laid. Meaning, exact spot of Ka'batullah, the four corners of Ka'batullah, were laid 2000 years before the actual creation of the earth itself. Or, in another word, before the earth surfaced. The earth was present, it was engulfed in water. As Muslims, we do not believe in the Big Bang theory. The whole earth was engulfed in water. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that the surface must now literally surface or be visible, that the first portion of land to pop out from the water was the Kaaba. That is why Kaaba is called Kaaba. Because in Arabic, when you pick up the dictionary and you see the root words Kaaf, Ain, Ba, this will mean to pop out, to protrude, to project. That is why the stars, we call the stars in Arabic Kawakib, they seem to pop out from the sky. The woman's breast also, when referred to their protruding breast in Jannat, the root words Kaf, Ayin, Ba are used. And on our anatomy, on our body, when we wash our legs, then we wash it till the Kaabain. The Kaabain is that portion of bone which is protruding here, the ankle bone. In Arabic we call this Kaabain. Why? Because if you look at the anatomy, the whole anatomy is going, the bone is going straight, then the bone is protruding. That protruding bone is called Kaabain. Why it is protruding? So the Kaaba is called Kaaba because it was the first soil, first land to pop out. From there, then the land spread out. Yes, after that other parts of the soil, they became higher, like the mountains, etc. Respected elders, Makkah al-Mukarramah is also called Ummul Qura. Ummul Qura meaning the mother of cities. And the word mother is called mother, in Arabic, because from her offsprings come. That is why she is called Makkah al-Mukarramah is called Ummul Qura because from Makkah al-Mukarramah all the other cities came out. And also, the waters of Zamzam are somehow the other linked to the waters of the entire world. That is why it is also called Ummul Qura. Makkah is also called Ras. Ras meaning head. At one stage in history, when there was mountains, only mountains and desert and soil and pebbles, that area was looking like a head. So it was called Ras. Respected elders, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the first place of worship created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the Baytullah. The above the Baytullah is another prototype, another celestial Kaaba, the Baytul Izza or the Baytul Ma'mur. And above the Baytul Izza or Baytul Ma'mur, we get the Lohe Mahfuz. And above the Lohe Mahfuz, we get the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, above the Kaaba, I told you, we get Baytul Izzah, Baytul Ma'mur.
and the malaika, the angels make tawaf of that house. The difference being that we are so fortunate that we are able to make tawaf of Kaaba again and again, time and time again. But the malaika, the angels, when they make tawaf of Baitul Ma'mur, they do it once and they do not do it again. They only give it an opportunity once to do it. Another point I want to clarify here, respected elders, that some people are under the impression that if you are in the Kaaba, inside the Kaaba, and if you look up, you'll become blind. That is not true, that is fallacious. This year especially, we inquired from the engineer, Abdul Manan Sahab, that is this true? Because this pertains nothing to do with Quran and Hadith, but maybe experience. He said, no, lately when they had the opportunity of renovating the inside portion of the Kaaba, then they had to meticulously measure inside the Kaaba. And they had to look constantly up. Nothing happened to them and nothing happened to anybody. But definitely you get a lot of stories concerning the Kaaba, etc. Respected elders, Imam Suyuti, Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi, has also written that generally birds don't fly over the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the ability to go visit the Kaaba, make ziyarah of the Kaaba. Now the foundations that were laid, the four corners of the Kaaba, one is where the Hajar-e Aswad is. The other portion, the other corner you call the Rukn-e Iraqi. Why? Because it is facing Iraq. The other corner you call Rukn-e Sham. Rukn-e Sham, because it's facing Sham. And the other corner now you call Rukn-e Yamani. Respected elders, facing Yemen. The adab of tawaf, remember very carefully, I've read this law lately, that if a person is making tawaf and his chest faces the Kaaba, then his tawaf is not valid. He must repeat his tawaf. And even if he goes away from Makkatul Mukarramah, he still has to complete the tawaf on return day. When he's by the Hajar-e Aswad, he'll make istilam. When he's by the Rukn-e Yamani, then he will touch the Rukn-e Yamani. Respected elders, one point of clarification, and you must understand this law, that we as Muslims do not worship the Kaaba. You'll find now over the internet and over the media and the papers that generally the people say, see these Muslims, they profess to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is one, but in reality they are worshipping a stone. In refutation of this, understand few things. Understand it and you'll be able to answer. Number one, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that it does not hurt him so much that if the Kaaba is being broken down, then it hurts him that the heart of a Muslim is being injured. Yeah, what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that honor the Muslim, respect the Muslim, love the Muslim, do not break his heart. And he, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mercy unto mankind, is prepared to see the Kaaba be destroyed, but he does not want any Muslim to hurt another Muslim's heart. And a Muslim generally hurts another Muslim's heart via the tongue. The tongue, respected elders, is sharper than the sword, is thinner than the blade, and causes more harm than the bombs. You'll see family feuds, domestic feuds, fighting between the husband and the wife, the neighbors, etc. Countries, I can prove to you historically that the formation of Pakistan came about because of the slip of a tongue. Respected elders, so the tongue has to be controlled. Man sakata najaha. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he who remains silent is successful, has attained success. So from this we understand that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the Kaaba can be destroyed. Why? Because we do not worship the Kaaba, we face in that direction. This is our unity. We face in that direction. So if it is destroyed, it would not be there. And when it is not there, we will still face there. Ulama Ikram have written that it is makruh to read salat on top of the Kaaba. Your salat will be valid, but it will be makruh. So how can we worship something that we read salat upon it? Thirdly, respected elders, when Makkatul Mukarramah was conquered, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that, "Oh Bilal, go and give the azan." And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Oh Bilal, go on top of the Kaaba." Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he climbed on top of the Kaaba and he gave the azan. The Kufar and Mushrik were very upset about this. And they commented about this too. They said, "How come, see the Bilal from Habash, from Ethiopia, he goes on top of the Kaaba and gives azan." Point I want to prove here is that if we were worshipping the Kaaba, then why will we stand on it? And why will Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say that go on top of the Kaaba? People do not stand on that which they worship. People do not honor and respect so tremendously an item which they worship, they will not stand on it. Barakasim Nanoti Rahmatullah has written a kitab in refutation of this. It's called Qibla Numa, where he explains in detail that we face the direction of the Kaaba, we do not worship the stone. And in history, the Hajar-e Aswad has been taken away by those invaders. It was not there for many years, but still when the people should make tawaf, they should make istilam in that spot. So the istilam was being made at that spot of Hajar-e Aswad, even in the absence of the Hajar-e Aswad. Respected elders, inside the Kaaba, I have explained that there is a well inside the Kaaba. I will explain to you about it. And there is a floor. When you look at the Kaaba, you will see a yellow line across the, when you look at it, that is where the mezzanine floor is. There are two floors in the Kaaba, denoting the time of period of construction. From the ground till that yellow line was before the Quraysh. It was during the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And above the yellow line was during the time of the Quraysh. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when he was sent down onto earth, he was shown at the exact spot when he came to Makkatul Mukarramah where the Kaaba is. The Kaaba itself, respected elders, is not a square and it's not a rectangle. Because if you look at it, one side is longer than the other side. And it is at a 10 degree slant. 10 degree slant meaning if you look from the Hajar-e Aswad side, you are not going to look straight. There is a 10 degree slant because of the water flow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all wise. He knew why there has to be a 10 degree slant. And because of the water coming down from the Safa Marwa side, coming past the Kaaba and going towards the side where the house and the masjid of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, lately it was demolished, they put up the hotels there. Respected elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to go time and time and again to the Haramain Sharifain. But here we must mention something. And it is essential because now the time of holidays are coming. And generally you will see South Africans especially, we are going towards the Haramain Sharifain to perform Umrah. Respected elders, if a person is owing money, pay your debt, do not go for Hajj and Umrah. If a person is owing other people money and is involved in interest, remove your interest, do not go for Hajj and Umrah. Do not make performance of Hajj and Umrah a fashion. These days it has become a fashion to go for Hajj and fashion to go for Umrah. In my locality, because people are going for Umrah, I also must go for Umrah. In my circle, people are going for Umrah, I also must go for Umrah. In my area, people are going for Umrah, I also must go for Umrah. For the sake of going, and then you come back and say, you know, I've been for Hajj 10 times, I've been for Umrah 15 times. And they take the whole family, meanwhile they're involved in interest, meanwhile they're involved in high purchase, meanwhile they're involved in owing people money. Respected elders, this is not ibadat, this is not permissible in Islam, that you owe money, people money, you pay the people money, their money back, then you go for Umrah at peace, stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house, stand before Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make dua. That is why, respected elders, our people are going for Hajj and coming back, people are going for Umrah and coming back, there is no change. Why? Because of our transaction and our dealing. And when our transaction and our dealing is not proper, then there will be no effect in our life. Imam Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi had two famous students, Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi. Someone asked Imam Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi that you have not written a book on tasawuf. Tasawuf, that you go and learn how to attain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making zikr individually, by reforming your character, personality. So they told him, you have not written any book on this, on spiritualism. So Imam Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi said, I have written. They said, where is it? We do not see it on the market. We do not see. Which book is it? He said, do you not see that I have written Kitabul Buyu? Do you not see that I have written the book on transactions? Meaning he is classifying the book of transactions, how to buy, how to sell, how to interact, what is halal, what is haram, what is permissible, what is not permissible, as the best book of the tasawuf of spiritualism. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand deen, to practice deen, and to become practical Muslims. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.